from the accord. He added that, despite this, Tehran actively participated in 5 rounds of negotiations with Washington in May and June. However, he said Iran came under U.S.-Israeli attacks when it was set to participate in the 6th round of talks. Araghchi reiterated Iran's right to uranium enrichment, stressing that Tehran continues to act within international law. He also emphasized Tehran's openness to dialogue over the nuclear program. Well, the Israeli military kills more Palestinians in Gaza as it presses ahead with its genocidal campaign in the blockaded strip. At least 30 Palestinians have been killed across the Palestinian territory since dawn. 12 of them were aid seekers. In one of the latest strikes, several people were injured after Israeli warplanes bombed a residential building in the Yarmouk area of Gaza City. Heavy artillery shelling also pounded the El Nasser neighborhood west of the same city. 6 Palestinians were killed and several others injured as a residential building in Deir el-Balah was targeted. Moving to the south, 3 people lost their lives in Khan Yunis in an airstrike on tents sheltering the displaced. The death toll from the U.S.-Israeli genocide now exceeds 66,000, with more than 168,300 others injured. The chiefs of the United States and Israel met yet again in Washington as the two continue to collude in the genocide of Gaza. A 20-point so-called peace plan was unveiled, but many say the two leaders have no intention of stopping their horrific war. Raman Mazahari reports from Washington, D.C.
Israeli Premier Benjamin Netanyahu made his 4th trip to the White House this year, where protesters greeted him with demands that Washington serve the arrest warrant of the International Criminal Court for war crimes and crimes against humanity. Netanyahu and U.S. President Donald Trump issued a list of 20 demands to end their attempted genocide in Gaza, but their so-called peace plan is so one-sided it seems sure to be rejected by Palestinians. Many say that a guaranteed rejection in order to continue their genocidal campaign is actually the real goal.
If Hamas rejects the deal, which is always possible, they're the only one left. Everyone else has accepted it, but I have a feeling that we're going to have a positive answer. But if not, as you know, Bibi, you'd have our full backing to do what you would have to do.
As the Gaza genocide nears its 2-year mark, Israel continues to murder innocent civilians on a daily basis. Many believe that a plan that has little chance of being accepted is also a propaganda diversion aimed at Western societies to distract from the horrific invasion and famine siege of Gaza City, the area's capital.
Absolutely a distraction. They're about as sincere as they were with interventionism in Vietnam or Cambodia, and we all saw how that went. Those legacies always come back in a circle, and you know, I think any peace plan that does not directly involve the Palestinian people and a sovereign plan of their own is going to be ultimately insincere. It invalidates itself outright.
The Gaza genocide has shattered Israel's global standing, but many protesters want to remind the world that Israel couldn't have done it without the arms and diplomatic cover of 2 different administrations in Washington.
When Netanyahu comes and claims that he represents me, he represents my people, or represents the Jewish religion, this is propaganda in order to manipulate the minds of the people to blindly support Israel and to blame whoever condemns or criticizes Israel as anti-Semitic or fighting God. This is wrong, and we encourage politicians to overcome and see through this propaganda.
While Western liberal democracy is often accused of walling off public policy from public opinion, polls show that the approval rating of the Israeli-U.S. genocide is down to just 32%, with its disapproval rating now standing at 60%. Ramin Mazahari, Washington, D.C.
Well, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad has reacted to Trump's so-called Gaza ceasefire plan. The movement rejected the American-Israeli truce proposal as, quote, a recipe for igniting the region. The Islamic Jihad said the plan announced by Trump and Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is an American-Israeli agreement which expresses Tel Aviv's full position. It added that the plan is a formula to continue the aggression against the Palestinian people. The movement noted that by accepting this proposal, Israel seeks to impose on Palestinians what it could not achieve through war. Gaza's government media office also rejected the plan, saying it offers no just or durable solution. The office warned that the plan only seeks to legitimize Israeli occupation and strip Palestinians of their national, political, and human rights. It noted that the only way to end the genocide is to stop Israel's attacks, lift the blockade of Gaza, end the systematic extermination of Palestinians, and guarantee their right to live in freedom and establish an independent state. Political commentator Eric Wahlberg believes that the proposal offered by the U.S. president is in fact an Israeli plan, which is aimed at disarming Hamas.
We can't trust either Trump or Netanyahu. They both are liars, absolute liars. Hamas gave a gesture of goodwill on Trump's inauguration, and they released an American prisoner with the understanding that Trump would really be serious about having a ceasefire and to bring some kind of credibility to what's happening in the Middle East. But he didn't do anything. He just ignored. He got this nice goodwill offering and then just thumbed his nose at the Palestinians. Basically, it's Israeli's plan. They want to disarm Hamas completely. Well, how can you disarm the resistance group? That's the only group that's stopping or that's standing in the way of Israel completely destroying and getting rid of all Palestinians.
The Colombian president has once again lambasted his U.S. counterpart for the complicity in the Gaza genocide, saying Trump should be jailed under the Rome Statute. Gustavo Petro also called for the implementation of the ICC arrest warrant for the Israeli premier during his visit to the U.S.
There is nothing illegitimate about applying the consequences of the Rome Statute, whether in the United States or anywhere else. If Mr. Trump keeps being complicit in a genocide, as he is up to today, he deserves nothing but jail, and his army should not obey him. The Rome Statute defines crimes against humanity, war crimes, and other international crimes. Anyone indicted by its tribunals can, in principle, be arrested by any country they enter. This means Netanyahu could be arrested in the United States. So why hasn't this happened? Why do they disregard their obligations under international law?
President Petro also announced the termination of all free trade agreements with Israel. He urged Colombian coal companies to either comply with the new policy or sell their concessions. Petro's remarks came after the Trump administration revoked his visa for joining a pro-Palestinian protest outside the United Nations in New York. During his address to the UNGA, Petro rebuked Trump for being complicit in the genocidal war on Gaza. Moving now to the occupied West Bank, which remains a scene of Israeli violence. In the latest developments, the regime's forces have carried out fresh raids on the cities of Jenin, Ramallah, and Salfit, arresting Palestinians and demolishing residential buildings. We are now joined by our Ramallah correspondent, Naqa Hamed, for the latest details. Naqa, again, these arrestments, these detainments continue. And, of course, these raiding of these homes in the middle of the night, during the day, no time matters. And it's as if the Palestinians have no lives of their own, basically. Naqa, what details do you have for us there on the ground?
Well, unfortunately, Caitlin, Palestinians have a life, do have a life of their own, but it is a captured life. It is a life under occupation. It's highlighted by pain and agony because we have developments by the Israeli forces, aggression by the Israeli forces on an hourly basis. I was preparing to give you the latest updates that happened through the night and through the hours of the early morning, but now we have even further updates on the ground. Let me start quickly by the most recent update that we have from the Palestinian Red Crescent Society, as they have announced that they have received a Palestinian young man who was shot by foot in the town of Arram, to the north of occupied Al-Quds, where the Israeli forces have shot that young man while he was walking beside the separation wall in that area. It's quite known these days that the Israeli forces are targeting Palestinian workers as they cross to the places that they work, either in the areas of northern occupied Al-Quds or inside the occupied territories. In another form of aggression over here in Ramallah, the Israeli forces have raided the villages of Shukba and the village of Beit Liqiya. In Shukba, the Israeli forces and bulldozers demolished an industrial facility to the Palestinian Ratib Nasser, and under the pretense that it does not have proper licenses, and it is built in Area C. This was not the only demolishing that happened today in the occupied West Bank, as the Israeli forces the hours of the morning have raided the province of Salfit and demolished three Palestinian homes in the village of Brooklyn to the west of Salfit. These three homes were three floors for each building had three floors, so we are talking about almost 10 families have been displaced and found themselves without shelter. In 1 second, they have found themselves in the streets without shelter. In the of course, the northern part of the West Bank is enduring a lot of suffering and agony as the Israeli forces is pressing ahead with the military operation, the Iron Wall, in Tul Kerem and Jenin, and it has resulted in even further escalation, especially in Jenin, as the villages of Yabat, Qabatia, Anin, and other villages to the west of Jenin are enduring relentless violence. At least for the last week, we are talking about a very obvious escalation. Just in the hours of the night, the Israeli forces raided Anin and detained tens of Palestinian youth, beat them severely. Many of them were hospitalized due to that beating and due to these violations.
Yes, Naka, it seems, I'm afraid I'm going to have to cut you off. I apologize for that, of course. Naka, Hamad, everyone, our correspondent there joining us from Ramallah. I'd like to thank you very much for those updates. The chief of staff of the Iranian Armed Forces says the country is exceptionally prepared for any possible military confrontation in the future. Major General Abdulrahim Mousavi made the remark during a visit to naval units of the Iranian Army and the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps in Bandar Abbas. He said that with a short period, Iran's naval forces have made significant advances in terms of both strength and readiness. Iran's top general also noted that the armed forces have thoroughly and carefully analyzed the strategies employed by the adversaries, particularly in light of the recent 12-day imposed war. Furthermore, Mousavi asserted that the operational capabilities of the IRGC Navy have been substantially enhanced. Well, the Venezuelan president says he is prepared to declare a state of emergency in response to threats of aggression by the United States following a series of deadly U.S. strikes on Venezuelan vessels.
The process began to consult the constitutional decree to declare a state of emergency due to an external threat, in line with the Constitution, to protect our people, our peace, and our stability. The decree would have wide-reaching effects if Venezuela were to be attacked militarily by the United States.
Earlier, Vice President Delcy Rodriguez said Maduro had signed a decree giving himself special powers as a head of state to act in matters of defense and security if the U.S. attacks the country. She asserted that the Venezuelan people would stand in unity behind the president in the face of foreign aggression. She reaffirmed that the nation would never relinquish its sovereignty. President Maduro has recently placed the Venezuelan armed forces on high alert, prompted by a substantial U.S. military deployment near the country. In recent weeks, U.S. forces have destroyed at least three vessels in the Caribbean on suspicion of involvement in drug trafficking. Well, thank you very much for this hour's headlines. More updates, as always, please stay tuned to World News. Goodbye for now.
Now my world is much more meaning since you came into my life. Let's set your place in my journey. Let me know you shine in your light. Right here is where you found me. As I lay in my head at night, surround me with good intentions as I close my eyes tonight. So take me home, I gotta find my home. So take me home, I gotta find my home. I was looking for a place to call my home. I was looking for a path to feel at home. But all I ever needed was to walk on. And the path that I've been shown, I am not alone. You're not an illusion.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program. Today is a special. Today's topic is oral health, scientific findings, and Islamic perspectives.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you, oh Allah. You did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you, is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so, I love you so.
What is today? Oh, today is Tuesday. Is the 7th of Rabiul Thani, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of the month of Mehr, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of September, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. The month of Mehr is a beautiful month for the Iranians because schools and universities start at this month and all the students happily go to their schools. Stay with us and let's beautify ourselves. Let's have the fragrant aroma of the ayahs of the Holy Quran and let's bless our mouths with reciting an ayah of the Holy Quran. Brother Mahmoud, the producer, has selected ayah 62 of Surah An-Naml for today. Let's listen to the Arabic recitation along with the English translation and then we'll be back in a minute. Please stay tuned.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ
معكم خلفاء الأرض أإله مع الله قليلا ما تذكرون.
Is he not best who responds to the desperate one when he calls upon him and removes evil and makes you inheritors of the earth? Is there a deity with Allah? Little do you remember.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Welcome back. You're listening to today's special with me, Atta, the host of this program. I am very much honored to host this program this time. At the time when all the doors of the world means are shut to a man and he is helpless from any point of view, the only one who can unlock the lock of difficulties, brings the light of hope into the hearts, and opens the doors of mercy to the distressed ones, is only his pure essence, not anyone else. His pure essence, all of them with capital. Who is he? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In view of the fact that this reality as a natural feeling is inside the soul of all human beings, idol worshippers also forget all their objects and worship when they entangle with the huge waves of the sea and refer to the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forget you. He is all-knowing, all-powerful. Stay with us, and then we'll get to today's health tip, oral health, scientific findings, and Islamic perspectives. Please stay tuned.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong in life. A world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you know I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Welcome back. You're listening to today's special with me, Atta, the host of this program. Never forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any moment, second in your life. Never lose hope. Satan will easily reach you through hopelessness. Now, let's get to today's hygiene topic. Islam teaches hygiene in every aspect of humans' lives. Why? Because it includes the hygiene of various parts of the body, oral hygiene, gender-based hygiene, sleep hygiene, food hygiene, dress hygiene, environmental hygiene, etc. One of the aspects of hygiene which Islam has a stress upon is oral hygiene. Oral hygiene, what is it? The Prophet Muhammad emphasized as well as demonstrated the importance of maintaining oral hygiene on various occasions. Allah's Messenger, that is Prophet Muhammad, said, I have told you repeatedly to use the siwak. The prayer before which the miswak is utilized is 70 times more superior to that before which is not used. So siwak or miswak is the same brush we use today. The Prophet said to offer two rakahs after using the miswak is more beloved to me than offering 70 rakahs without using the siwak. Now some of you might say, I don't have miswak right now in the masjid. I don't have miswak right now at my workplace. Or I am in a gym. I don't have miswak. Use your finger. Yes, use your finger. You can just rinse your mouth and teeth and brush your teeth with your finger, with your index finger, okay? Just put a little bit With a little bit of salt is also is good, okay? Just put a little bit of salt, piece of salt on that, and put it in your mouth. Open it and rinse your mouth. Put water in your mouth. Just gargle it and then out. And then do your salad easily. 70 times more superior than you did that before it was not used. Happy for you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition. Today we are going to talk about oral health. That is, the scientific findings and Islamic perspectives on oral health specifically. The Islamic tradition also contains common recommendations for nutrition that can positively impact oral health. The moderate consumption of sweets and the emphasis on natural, unprocessed foods align with modern dental advice. Current research on oral health confirms in remarkable ways what has long been practiced in Islamic traditions, while scientists like Eric Reynolds at the University of Melbourne are working on vaccines against gum disease. We can simultaneously learn from traditional practices. Research by Laura Weirich from Pennsylvania State University shows that the oral microbiome of our ancestors drastically deteriorated after the transition from a hunter-gatherer society to an agricultural lifestyle about 8,000 years ago. With increasing intake after the transition from a hunter-gatherer society to an agricultural lifestyle about 8,000 years ago, with the increasing intake of carbohydrates, the composition of the oral flora changed in favor of bacteria causing caries. These findings align with the Islamic recommendation for moderation in eating and avoiding excess.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Now let's get to the spiritual aspects of oral hygiene. A clean mouth during recitation is more important because the angels who normally come close to the reciter are repelled by foul smells. Imam Ali alayhi salam narrated that Prophet Muhammad said, "When a servant uses a toothpick, then stands for the salat, an angel stands behind him and listens to his recitation. The angel then comes so close to him that he places his mouth against the mouth of that person." Wow! If your mouth smells bad, what that angel will be feeling? Not only the angel, also the people who are with you in Salat al-Jama'ah in a masjid. Consider that, for example, you had garlic or onion or any type of bad smelling type of food. And then you go to the masjid. And then you want a prayer. And then say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wow. As long as you open your mouth, bad smell is coming out. Bad smell is coming out. The people who are beside you say, wow, feeling, you know, messy. They feel not happy about your mouth. They do not feel happy about the smell of your mouth. So, do the miswak, have itr, and then go to the masjid. Please, please, please. The Prophet, who was an example of how we take care of our oral hygiene, was especially meticulous when angel Jibril came to him. He shared, "Never did Jibril came to me without commanding me to use the toothpick, with the result being that I was afraid of shoving the front of my mouth. With the result being that I was afraid of chafing the front of my mouth. That's it, that's it, that's it. That was today's tip. Let's get to a break time. Agree? And then we'll listen to tips to boost your oral hygiene routine. Thank you very much, Brother Mahmoud, for nice practical points in your program. Today's special, dear listeners, I'm very much honored to have you. Be with us, please. Tips to boost your oral hygiene routine. Start by brushing in the back. This good habit may mean that you do a better job cleaning those hard-to-reach spots, which is essential because of all those nooks and crannies in your molars make them more susceptible to gum disease and cavities. Beginning your brushing routine in the rear, at least sometimes a good way to give the back of your mouth the attention it deserves. Every time I brush my teeth, I start in the upper right side in the back. Dr. Lynch, the Global Director of Oral Care and Fellow Global Scientific Engagement Incorporation, says, and I always follow the same method so I know I won't miss any spots. That's it. Usually when you do the miswak, do the brushing of the teeth, the front teeth are easier to reach. You do them, okay, they look white. When people look at you, what about the back ones? Come on, take care of your back teeth. And they are mostly susceptible to cavities and gum problems. Using miswak before salat, before doing your spiritual recitation of the Holy Quran, will really, really increase the rewards of your recitation and your salat. Believe me, do that and then be among the people with a happy face. Do not forget to smile with your beautiful teeth and beautiful aroma of the mouth.
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, when the stomach is healthy, the veins transmit health, and when the stomach is ill, the veins transmit illness, which emphasizes the importance of balanced diet. Regular tooth brushing with fluoride toothpaste, the use of dental floss and interdental brushes may not exactly match traditional methods, but they fulfill the same purpose. The use of the miswak can be considered a complementary measure that offers both religious and health benefits.
Thank you very much for staying with us with today's special with me, Atta, the host of this program. We hope you enjoyed and benefited from today's topic, which was oral hygiene and oral health from Islamic perspective and also scientific perspective. Please, for more information, visit our website, our new website, iranradio.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Take care. Fi amanallah.
Nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, 'cause there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah.
In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all worlds. O Allah, send blessings upon Muhammad and the family of Muhammad and hasten their reappearance. Greetings and salutations to the great nation of Iran, which has always safeguarded the integrity and independence of the country through their presence in various arenas. Peace and blessings of God be upon the martyr commanders of the IRGC, upon the unknown martyrs, and upon the martyrs of the intelligence community and the Ministry of Intelligence. Greetings and divine blessings to the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, who has successfully led the resistance against the camp of infidelity, oppression, and the dominance of the American Zionist agenda. The main enemy of this land, this nation, and this faith is not only the criminal gang ruling over occupied Palestine, but also a Zionist American movement that, in addition to us, is an enemy of many countries and nations, an enemy of truth, justice, and humanity. This time, the Western Dominance Club, in a fatal miscalculation, unleashed its rabid dog to attack our proud and powerful Iran. Thanks to the unity of the people, the strong and resolute defense by the armed forces of the Islamic Republic, the heroic sacrifices of the defenders of the homeland, the wise and courageous leadership of the Commander-in-Chief of Armed Forces, and the active presence of the esteemed President and the 14th Administration, the world witnessed the defeat and humiliation of the illegitimate offspring of Western dominance, and they rejoiced. Today, I intend to discuss another aspect of the American Zionist regime's disgrace, its intelligence failure. In a statement dated June 9th, the Ministry of Intelligence announced the acquisition of a treasure trove of information from the hidden vaults of the Zionist regime and its transfer to Iran. The reality is that the anonymous soldiers of Imam Zaman infiltrated deep into the hidden chambers of the Zionist regime through one of the most complex, multi-layered intelligence operations and accessed its secret information in various fields, including nuclear, military, intelligence, and scientific domains. Today, I will only touch upon a portion of this information.
The story begins here, a film that reveals how millions of documents containing military and nuclear information, along with data from significant research projects and sensitive centers of the occupying regime, were smuggled out of the occupied territories, from the most secure nuclear sites and heavily guarded military facilities to designated safe locations, and then out of the occupied lands heading towards Tehran. Over the years, Iran's intelligence agency has recruited a network of operatives working deep within the military and security layers of the regime. Key figures within the regime are collaborating with the Islamic Republic of Iran, as they too have recognized Netanyahu's incompetence in safeguarding their own regime. This is part of the efforts of the anonymous soldiers of Imam Zaman in the Ministry of Intelligence, engaged in a round-the-clock battle for security and peace in Iran, and now even for the security and peace of the region and the world. The news of the mass exodus of highly classified documents that exposed the entire military and security networks surrounding the Zionists' nuclear weapons program detonated like a bomb in the corridors of power in Israeli regime. They were acutely aware of the blow they had received. Updated information that made visible the layered networks of individuals and projects involved in the construction and development of nuclear bombs within the Israeli regime. It also included all personal and professional details of those individuals and their connections with other countries. Includes extensive documents detailing the support from the U.S. regime and some European nations for the Zionist nuclear weapons program, as well as confidential agreements between the regime and several other countries regarding nuclear bomb development. Additionally, the regime's lobbying efforts to prevent other nations from accessing even peaceful energy sources, along with leaked correspondence from Iran to certain international organizations, to the regime's security agencies, and finally, the extensive collaboration between American technology companies and government entities with the Israeli regime for the construction and development of nuclear bombs and related knowledge. The subsequent operation, which was exceedingly complex and even larger in scale, involved data processing and transforming it into a network of interconnected and intertwined data, which, through the tireless efforts of analysts and experts from the Ministry of Intelligence, has now become a tangled web, a spider's web that is a vision of the terrifying threat of the occupying regime of Al-Quds against humanity. Due to the sensitive nature of this data, only a portion of it is disclosed. This extensive data network not only reveals the historical context of the regime's nuclear weapons program and all the individuals and entities involved, but is also highly effective for studying future developments. It is a live data network that allows for the prediction of subsequent changes, even if the personnel shifts. This operation was successfully carried out while the main operational and support agents completed their tasks safely and without interference from enemy services. Even if a few of the individuals involved in the operation have been identified, these individuals and cells remain unaware of each other, and the regime security apparatus has yet to find a way to uncover other cells. At this moment, the regime's military and security structure, under the incompetent management of Netanyahu, has turned into a body infected with a virus that should brace for a worsening situation.
انجام حرفه‌ای و هوشمندانه پروژه نفوذ.
The professional and intelligent execution of the infiltration project, which involved obtaining classified documents from the Zionist regime, successfully transferring these documents to pre-established bases, was merely one aspect of a powerful combination of operational intelligence actions. Although the treasure transferred into the country consists of millions of pages of various and diverse information regarding the Zionist regime, including past and ongoing military projects of the criminal regime ruling over the occupied territories, projects for the refurbishment and recovery of old nuclear weapons, joint projects with the United States and some European countries, the entire administrative structure and personnel involved in nuclear weapons, as well as researchers, scholars, and senior managers of these inhumane projects, the names of researchers and so-called scientists from America and Europe involved in the mentioned projects, and the addresses of facilities, companies, and all collaborators of these projects. The next very important and complex mission for the unknown soldiers of Imam Zaman is to process the information and uncover the relationships between various human and organizational elements and networks related to the regime's nuclear projects, both inside and outside the occupied territories. Discovering the relationship between elements and networks is as crucial as the infiltration project and the transfer of information into the country.
Dr.
A vast amount of data has been transferred from the occupied territories to Tehran, now forming a complex web of processed information, a galaxy of names, addresses, internal and external relations, documents, projects, and even photographs are interconnected. This intricate network is the result of months of work by analysts at the Ministry of Intelligence, clearly indicating that the regime's nuclear program is intertwined with its armament initiatives. Just a small unit from a tiny cluster can provide a glimpse into the dimensions of the operations of the Islamic Republic's Ministry of Intelligence within the occupied territories. Oleg Rivin works at the Negev nuclear facility, one of the seven main bases of the regime's nuclear armament program. Oleg Rivin is a neutron specialist, a mineral chemistry scientist, and has expertise in working with microscopic laser materials. This image depicts the neutron program in which Oleg Rivin specialized. He is involved in a joint project, a collaboration between the Negev nuclear base in the occupied territory and the Los Alamos National Laboratory in the United States. The name of the Los Alamos Laboratory is linked to the history of atomic bomb production. The first nuclear bombs of the United States, which led to the massacre of the people of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, were produced at Los Alamos. The collaboration program between Oleg Rivin and Los Alamos is conducted under the auspices of a company called Rotem Industries. Rotem can be likened to Los Alamos in the occupied territories, focusing on the production of specialized military components and radiation detection. This shipping document indicates that Rotem has sent a shipment to the Los Alamos Atomic Laboratory in the United States. The shipment contains samples of chemical materials related to the nuclear weapons program of the occupying regime. The partnership between Los Alamos and the occupying regime includes a contract for the production and testing of bombs on a laboratory scale. These tests were initially conducted in African countries with the cooperation of the United States, but after this information was revealed by Russian and Chinese satellites, the tests were moved to the United States to be concealed under the guise of U.S. nuclear tests. These names represent the specifications and faces of the Zionist delegation that was established in Los Alamos in 2018 to advance these joint projects. One of Oleg Rivin's professors, Ilad Kaspi, is directly in contact with Los Alamos, and Rotem Industries is effectively under his supervision. Ilad Kaspi's role in the field of nuclear weapons is quite significant. His work focuses on measuring the quantity and arrangement of materials in the warheads of modern atomic bombs to achieve maximum explosive yield. In another part of this data galaxy, we encounter Ayel Yaho, a senior manager at the Negev Nuclear Research Center, who works on neutron shaping and the analysis of atomic and semiconductor radiation. He is also a key figure in the connection between the production of nuclear weapons in the United States and the Israeli regime. The American National Energy Laboratory in Livermore, California, and the Los Alamos National Laboratory are centers collaborating with Yahoo. However, Yonathan Albez, born in March 1977, is the head of the Advanced Research Division of the regime's Atomic Energy Organization, focusing on nuclear radiation analysis and the control and optimization of nuclear weapon quality. Both Yahil and Albez are connected to Elazar Sarid, whose expertise lies in modern atomic bombs. One of his key specialties is increasing the plasma density of atomic bombs during nuclear fusion reactions and developing the infrastructure for testing nuclear weapon quality. Ron Ashkenazi, born in 1974, is another collaborator of the regime involved in the production of weapons of mass destruction. This senior member of the regime's Atomic Energy Organization works with foundations like Wiseman. The Wiseman Foundation was one of the organizations involved in the production of weapons of mass destruction that was destroyed during missile attacks by the Islamic Republic of Iran. However, no one knew what Wiseman's primary role in weapon production was. Names and faces such as Oleg Rivin, Elad Caspi, Io Yahoo, Yonatan Albez, Elazar Sarid, and Ron Ashkenazi are just a part of the Zionist scientists active in the regime's nuclear weapons program, which is now in the hands of the Iranian Ministry of Intelligence for future measures.
As I mentioned at the beginning of this program, at this current stage, we have only revealed a small portion of the millions of pages of information obtained from the Zionist regime. First point, this small portion has turned the pages of the history of the regime's secrecy and its supporters, putting an end to the regime's policy of nuclear ambiguity. Second point, our findings include the full names, addresses, and professional relationships of 189 nuclear and military specialists associated with the regime, along with the projects each of them is working on. And this list is still being updated. Third point, within the acquired treasure trove, there is precise information regarding sensitive military and scientific locations with dual-use applications which were targeted during the 12-day war after their coordinates were handed over to the country's missile units. Fourth point, this small amount of disclosed information reveals the collaboration between the U.S. regime and some European countries with the criminal Zionist regime. Additionally, it uncovers documents regarding the influence of regime officials and American senators over the agency and their acquisition of information related to our country's peaceful nuclear program.
Although the U.S. regime is by far the largest supporter of the Zionist atomic bomb, its atomic commission also has various programs with Europeans. The regime and the European Union have established a joint commission for nuclear cooperation and are advancing thermal hydraulic reactor projects. France is the regime's largest partner in the European Union regarding atomic bomb production. There are documents detailing 160 joint projects between France and the regime, with four of these projects being particularly significant. Most notably, the SARAF project focuses on the production of accelerators and enrichment facilities at the Sarek Center. This information comes from the discoveries of the anonymous soldiers of Imam Zaman, including the network graph of missile information, propulsion, and drone technology of the occupying regime, which involves weapons for transferring atomic bombs. Unfortunately, some international organizations are also under the influence of the occupying regime. Some individuals involved in the regime's atomic weapons and weapons of mass destruction are collaborators with those organizations. One example is Yaniv Shapishnik. Born in October 1981, he is the head of the research department at the Negev Nuclear Research Center, which collaborates with an international organization in the field of reactors. However, he is actually an expert in numerical modeling of atomic bomb explosions, aiming to minimize the amount of uranium and plutonium required in the bomb explosion cycle. The presence of these forces, which serve the destruction of humanity, reflects the dire situation of those organizations as their collaborators. This entity takes a hostile stance against Iran's peaceful nuclear activities, while welcoming the creators of weapons of mass destruction among the Zionists as partners. Despite the agency's services to the regime, documents found revealed that the regime even spies on the head of the agency. Family and personal photos of the agency's head, which were among the documents leaked from the occupied territories, indicated that this regime was gathering information on the agency's head. The occupying regime knows no bounds and remains loyal to no one.
A significant number of employees from nuclear agencies, military institutions, and ordinary citizens of the Israeli regime collaborated with the Minister of Intelligence to obtain a wealth of documents and transfer them from the regime's intricate layers of protection to our beloved Iran. Two main motivations drove this collaboration. One was financial gain, meaning the receipt of money, and the other was a deep-seated hatred for the so-called corrupt criminal prime minister of the Zionist regime and a desire for revenge against him. Now I tell this vile killer that instead of thinking about solving Iran's water issues, he should focus on addressing the bread problems of many of his employees who have collaborated with us for monetary reasons and continue to do so right now. Additionally, I want to reveal the secret behind the Israel regime's efforts to instill influence among the Iranian people and officials. The secret lies in the historic defeat of the 12-day war and the deep infiltration of the unknown soldiers of Imam Zaman into the innermost protected layers of the regime. The myth of infiltration was created, and unfortunately, some individuals within the country promoted it. We have never denied the enemy's intelligence infiltration in certain weak individuals within our ranks. Among these traitors, one has been identified, tried, and executed, and it is important to express gratitude to the judiciary for their efforts. Currently, we're also working on other espionage cases, but the desperate attempts of the Zionist regime to conceal the significant infiltration of the Ministry of Intelligence in their strongholds, hideouts, and secured vaults continue. They are also engaged in deceptive operations, particularly in covering up the technological methods used to gather information from our country. God willing, in the future, as we continue to reveal the treasures of the acquired intelligence documents, we will address these issues. In the end, I humbly thank God with my limited words and bow respectfully before the Iranian nation, asking everyone to pray for and support the unknown soldiers of Imam Zaman. Peace be upon you, and God's mercy and blessings.
Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.